as we say, there are 7 billion people, mm-hmm. over 7 billion people in the world, but we don't have to learn how to speak to all 7 billion. We just need to learn how to communicate with 7, and we can reach everybody.
Welcome to Along the Way. I'm John Matarazzo, your host and fellow traveler. Thank you for joining me along my way as I try to become more like Jesus every day. In this episode of Along the Way, my journey connects me with Anna Kendall, the co-founder of Life Languages International and the co-author of the new book, Communication IQ. If you want to know how you can influence, lead, and motivate people, then you want to hear what Anna has to say. Before we get to the interview with Anna, I want to let you know that I took the life language assessment that Anna Kendall will talk about in this interview. I discussed my results with the International Training Director of Life Languages International, Carolyn Santos. You can hear our follow-up conversation to learn more about how the life language system works and how I scored in my assessment. That conversation with Carolyn will be in part 2 of Translating Life's Languages. I always enjoy getting feedback about how my Along the Way journey is helping you. If you want to connect with me, then you can find Along the Way on Facebook and Instagram. You can always email me at johnalongtheway@gmail.com. My social links and web address are in the show notes. I'd love to hear your feedback. And now, here's my Along the Way conversation with Anna Kendall. Anna Kendall, thank you so much for joining me along the way as I try to become more like Jesus by the people that God brings into my life along the way on my journey. I'd like to learn about your journey a little bit. If you could just kind of explain a little bit of who you are and how we connected through your book, Communication IQ.
Okay, well, John, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I appreciate this. My husband Fred and I have just recently written a book published by Whitaker House called Communication IQ, where we, the Lord revealed to us, and it's something we've worked on for the last 35 years, so it's not a new concept. He revealed to us that there are 7 different communication styles. We all speak all 7 of them in descending order, and it's a phenomenal concept, and I must say it is brilliant and smart and much smarter than we are, because it really does come from the Word of God. It comes from the mind of God. So we can't take credit for it. We had been working on understanding communication since my husband and I, we were both really good at talking, and we thought we were good communicators.
Yeah.
And then we found ourselves with tremendous marriage problems, and that we were not good communicators at all. And it was in the healing of our marriage that we started understanding that we had to communicate problem, and most people did, and then we started turning to God to heal our marriage and to bring us the awareness that we needed, and He started revealing tremendous insights to us about how to communicate. Is that okay?
Yeah, there's a storm going on outside, okay. And I don't even know if I can try to edit that out, so I'm just going to embrace it and just
all
say,
right, we'll
there's
go
a storm
it.
Going on
there
outside, and I'm very grateful that Whitaker House is allowing me to come and use one of their offices here while you're in town, speaking at a fair that they're having.
Yes, it's for bookstore owners.
Yeah.
So we've been delighted to come here and talk about our book and about the concept and this whole thing. So anyway, God used this as we worked on this project of understanding one another, understanding ourselves and each other, and we realized this wasn't just for us, this was for other people. So we started using it to help marriages and help families, and then from there we started doing seminars in churches, and the next thing we knew, God was bringing people to us who wanted to share this. So we have about several hundred coaches throughout the world who now teach this. We're in, I think, about 120 countries, and we've profiled about 250,000 people. So and through the years, one of the other things that happened was my husband and I had ownership and management in 3 Christian psychiatric hospital programs.
Okay.
One was in Fort Worth, Texas, one was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and the other was Newport Beach, California. So our Spirit-filled professionals would take this concept and use it in group therapy and private therapy, and through their professional insight as well as their spiritual maturity, they confirmed and validated everything that God was showing to us. So now we know that as we have worked on this and God revealed to us that what we had done was we had plugged into the concept of the seven motivational gifts from Romans 12.
Okay.
And that's what makes it work. But not only do we speak all seven of the languages, he has shown us that each language is divided into one of three intelligences. There are those who think first, those who feel first, and those who are kinetic or act first.
Okay.
So we've got the three intelligences, and the seven life languages are the seven communication styles. Then each one has its own filter, each one has its own passion, each one has its own need from others. And as we understand these things, it helps us to identify with the people that we're wanting to reach and communicate with. As we say, there are 7 billion people, mm-hmm. over 7 billion people in the world, but we don't have to learn how to speak to all 7 billion. We just need to learn how to communicate with 7, and we can reach everybody.
Wow. That's really interesting.
Pretty amazing, isn't
yeah.
it? Yes.
Yeah. So I want to hear more about that in a moment.
Okay.
But I want to hear about your life. How did you come to Christ? How did you make Jesus your Lord and Savior?
Well, it wasn't until my husband and I had marital problems.
Okay.
I was a church member, and I thought I was a Christian, but I had one of those intellectual assents to Christ rather than the experiential understanding of Jesus living within me. And as we had marital problems and we separated, and I was convinced that my husband was the source of all my problems because according to the life languages, his first language is mover, which is lead, follow, get out of the way. He was a Marine Corps major.
Okay.
And I felt like he was always trying to shape me up, and I felt like I needed to always resist. So we had our internal battles going on. But it was during our separation that I thought, you know, I'm better. Life is better without him. But during that time, and I was living in Texas, and he went to California. During that time,
so you guys were really separated.
Yeah, we were really separated. And God spoke to him through a group of Spirit-filled Christians and told him that if he'd go back to Texas, that he would show him how to save his marriage, how to save his family. And he turned in his resignation. He was a branch manager for a large electronics company, and he turned it in, moved back to Texas with the absolute confidence that God was going to save our marriage.
Wow.
And I would look at him and I'd say, first of all, I don't want it saved. Secondly, mm-hmm. you're the source of my problems. And third, I have no feelings for you except absolute hatred.
Okay,
and
that's a rough place.
You think
right
that's
there.
Rough? So he'd look at me and he'd say, Anna, just like he learned in the Marine Corps, if you were captured by an enemy, you gave a script. He'd say, Anna, I want to love you, honor you, provide for you, care for you all the days of your life. You are not my enemy. And I'd say, well, I'll tell you one thing, you're my enemy, and the sooner you're out of here, the better. Because prior to that, he had been so hard-charging, so demanding, so critical, that I was just worn down. But he was changing. The Lord has started changing him. And I got trapped in that marriage with him tying up all of the finances and getting a child custody lawyer. And I was just furious, but I couldn't run away. And during that time, I saw him change. I saw the man that God was creating him to be. And so one night I said, God, if this Christianity thing that Fred is talking about, if that's for real, and if you're really real, I will try. I will really try this Christianity thing. But I said, I don't really believe the way he does. So you're going to have to take me with the little faith that I have. And the amazing thing was God took me at that level of commitment. And Fred came home. He and our son was about 10 or 11. And they both came home from church. And I said, Fred, I will move with you from Houston to Dallas, but I want you to know I don't love you. Fred said, great. He and God took me at that level of commitment.
Yeah.
And we moved to Dallas. God placed us in a community of Spirit-filled believers who started taking us places where we could be healed and where we could get all the needs met, from healing, inner healing, deliverance, discipleship, mentoring. And it wasn't maybe 6 months later that I realized how much I love my husband and what a hero he was to me, because he didn't give up on me and he didn't walk out and he stayed in there when it was tough. And that's the kind of thing, as we've understood movers, that movers do. They will stay in and they can handle the challenge of something that's difficult. So God knew to bring me the right kind of man.
Yeah. You made mention of your husband being a mover.
Yes.
And that's one of the types.
That's right.
So what is your natural type?
Okay, my first language is influencer, which is an emotive language. Influencers are optimistic, they are enthusiastic, they're encouraging, they see positive results even with negative things. Like the mover, my husband's first language would be, an example would be John the Baptist or Elijah. Mm-hmm. An influencer, which is my first life language, would be the Apostle Peter. You talk and talk and talk until you think of something to say, you know, and then oh, we can do this. Let's build three tabernacles, you know.
Right, right.
So we were just, you know, his first was see what's wrong and correct it, and my first was nothing's wrong. Let's just celebrate. So
I could see how without understanding how to communicate,
exactly,
there was a big problem.
And then we had the son who was, now I was emotive, Fred was kinetic, and our son was cognitive. He was very quiet, mm-hmm, very brilliant, very complex. He plays a number of musical instruments. By the time he was in high school, he spoke 5 different languages.
Oh, my gosh.
Just a brilliant child. But he might know more than anybody in the group would know, and he didn't feel compelled to tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, they think and think and think and gain knowledge and understanding, but unless you ask them, or unless they feel like there's a reason, they don't necessarily tell you. So he was quiet and would withdraw for having time alone and being comfortable in silence. And I would think something was wrong, and so would my husband. So we were both trying to change him to be like ourselves. Hmm. We nearly ruined him until God showed us that he was a precious contemplator, a cognitive language. Contemplators are like Isaiah, or like the Apostle Paul spoke contemplator frequently. They are brilliant. Mm-hmm. They love to study. They love to validate the truth. They love to know. And they are so adept at so many things. They have trouble finding what they want to be in life, because they don't know if they want to be a linguist, a college professor, an IT person, or a musician. Because they're so gifted at so many things.
Okay.
But they're quiet and don't feel compelled to talk all the time. Influencers, we feel kind of compelled to fill all the silence with something, either verbalization or music or television or something. So as God showed us in our little family, the 3 categories of intelligences and the 3 different languages, we learned to celebrate each other rather than tolerate each other. We learned to celebrate how God wired each of us so differently.
Right.
And then as we shared this with other families, and then with churches and church staffs, and now with businesses and government officials and things, it's just been amazing to see what God has done. And it works because it's based on God's word.
Yeah. So God worked in your family first.
Yes, he did.
And then from there, so there was 3 personality types or communication.
That's right. Exactly. IQs. 3 communication styles.
So where did the other 4 come from? How did you discover those?
All right. As we looked at, let's say, the category, the intelligence category of kinetic, we saw, and these are the people who act first. We saw that some were like my husband, who acted first, and it was lead, follow, get out of the way, make it happen, change, improve, innovate, and entrepreneurial spirit. But there were some who were action-oriented, who liked to finish what they start and like to check things off their list and like to have short-range goals and were practical and diligent and trustworthy, but they were both kinetic languages. So we said, okay, there's 2 different communication styles under that category. Then we started looking at the emotive languages. There were the ones like me who are enthusiastic, love people, very people-oriented, very future-oriented, very encouraging, but there were some that were emotive. They were sensitive and warm and nurturing and loved the one-on-one and passionate about life, very different from other, but both under that feeling category. Then we saw there were 2 under the cognitive. There were the ones with long-range plans, the shapers who like to be efficient and organized and develop people and delegate and have the big picture. And there were those who were like the contemplator, who were quiet and brilliant and like to validate the truth. Very different. So we had two under each category. That was about the time we were doing, we were working in our psychiatric Christian programs, and we were in a Bible study with some of our Christian psychiatrists, and we just happened to be reading Romans 12 that day. And as my husband is reading it, he just stopped and he said, God just told me there are not six life languages like we thought, all balanced with two under each category. There's actually seven. And we've not been, God hasn't been giving us new revelation. He's been revealing deep truth about the revelation of the motivational gifts of Romans 12. The one we didn't have, the seventh one, was what we call our producer. And those are the ones in Romans 12 that would be the giver. He showed us that producer, our giver, is a cognitive language. Everybody gives. They give out of their hearts or they give out of their immediacy or whatever. But the producer, the real giver of Romans 12, it's a cognitive decision. And they give where they see it's good soil to plant. They also are very resourceful. They can make finances go further than just about anybody. They may not make the most money, but they manage it better. So we saw that there were three life languages under that category. And it's so funny. I was doing a secular seminar one day, and I said, so there are seven, and we found the seventh, and now we know there's not six, there's seven. This vice president stood up and said, well, how do we know that you're not going to come back next year and there's eight? And we said, because seven is all. Now, I couldn't say because of EEOC, you can't use scripture or the name Jesus or the word of God when you're doing a strictly secular, because it can cause the company to get in trouble.
Right.
So we have to be very careful when we're doing something secular. So I just said, well, because there's not, there's only seven. And he said, how do we know that? And I said, well, we've discovered all there is to discover. He says, well, how do we know that? And I said, okay, let me explain this to you. What we have done is we discovered these truths from a very old manuscript. It's an ancient manuscript that was written about 55 AD, and it was written by a brilliant man of that era whose name was Paul of Tarsus. And he said, oh, okay, and that answered it for him, which I was surprised that it did, because it was like I'm standing there praying, oh God, what do I say without getting...
you could get in trouble and they could get in trouble.
So he just, okay, that makes sense. And I said, so we studied that, learned it, and this is how it has developed through the years. And he said, okay, well, that makes sense. And that was the end of it. But I love it when we're speaking at churches and we can say Romans 12, you know, that's where it comes from. So the Lord has given us, like, each language has a filter, much like glasses, the way you give communication and receive communication.
Right.
Okay, each language has a passion that if that passion is ignited, they're able to be super successful in life and in relationships. Each language has a need from others, and if that's met, and we like to say, oh, we don't need things from others, but we all do. God created us that way. He wired us to have needs from others.
Absolutely.
So let me give you an example of the filter.
Okay.
Okay, the mover filter is, what is your motive? You know, so it's like, why are you asking me if I'm busy on Saturday?
Okay.
If you don't give me an answer, then I'll assign one to you, and it might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So with the mover, you say, I'm moving Saturday, and I could sure use your help. Are you available? Sure. That's on the table. Okay, the doer's filter is, are you doing your share? The doer does more than everybody. They're so capable of meeting practical needs. So they're easily, they see what needs to be done, and they do it. But if they look around in a home, they're the only one who's taking out the trash or washing the dishes or folding the clothes, and everybody else is playing video games or watching TV, their filter is, are you doing your share, and why aren't you doing your share? And they can go into distress if that's not answered. The influencer is, are we connecting? They want a relationship. So they're constantly trying to connect. The responder is, do you really care about me? They're the nurturing, caring ones. If I know how much you care about me, and it's as much as I care about you, let's say they work for you, it's like, I'll lay my life down for this job. I'll just do it. But let me know that you care about the things I care about.
Yeah.
So, and then you get to the cognitive ones. The shaper is, do you have a plan? If you don't, you better join my plan. You know, the producer is, are you managing your life? And if not, why is it so out of balance? Because producers are that's the least frequently spoken as a first language. But they manage their life so well, they're very well balanced.
Okay.
And then the contemplator is, am I interested in this? If they're not interested, they may sit in your presence and disappear. Mm-hmm. They go someplace in their mind. So when you're aware of those unspoken filter questions, you answer them in your communication to them.
Okay.
You know, you just answer those, and all of a sudden, you go to the next level and the next level. So it's so easy. If you know four things about seven people, you can communicate with everybody. It's that simple. Whether
wow.
it's your mate, your spouse, your children, your parents, your employees, your coworkers, your church, you can communicate with everybody.
So is this something that you can use to, like, once you know about the communication IQ different types,
yes,
you can, I'm sure people, you know, you can take the test yourself,
yes.
which I've
yes.
taken.
Mm-hmm.
I still need to get the results. But
yeah.
So you can look at other people and you say, oh, this person is probably
yes.
this. And so how does that help you then communicate?
It helps you immensely. And what we say is you don't maybe recognize what their first language is to say, okay, you're a doer. But what you'll recognize is what language they're speaking.
Okay.
See, the goal is to first understand yourself and then internalize these seven communication styles. So if I see you coming in here and you say, you know, I was just in cleaning up the break room and we need to get everything set up because we've got a meeting coming in just a few minutes. So would you mind organizing the paper plates and go getting drinks for everybody? Man, I know you're speaking doer.
Mm-hmm.
And if I want to communicate with you, I'll say, let me help you. You know,
okay.
Or I could say, I would help you, but I need to finish this podcast first, you know,
right.
But you talk it, or someone says, there's someone out in the lobby that she just came in and she seems really, really upset. Do you want me to go there and spend some time and talk to him, or would you want to send somebody else out there to see what's wrong? Okay, that's somebody who's feeling from the heart. They sense somebody's hurting. That's a responder speaking. So you respond back with your heart. And just see what that does. Like a lady the other day, her husband's first language is mover. She had something happen. She said, she went home and she said, and he's a pastor. She said, Dusty, I need for you to put your mover on the shelf for just a minute and listen to me with your responder. I just had a wreck and it wasn't my fault. And let me tell you what happened and I'm okay. But let me just say all this. So then
uh-huh.
she, you know, she got it. And he was very mature and sat there and didn't say what movers tend to say. Well, was it your fault?
Right.
Were you paying attention? How come you did that? You know, he didn't do any of that. He showed her compassion and understanding. And it made her feel so close to him. And it just strengthened their relationship. So we can choose which language we want to speak in order to help the other person experience the Jesus in us. And Jesus spoke every one of these languages.
Yeah. And I like what you said at the beginning. I'm not sure if this happened before I hit record or not,
yeah.
but you said everybody can speak all of
all
them.
All seven. That's right. Even your last one. My last language is my son's first language.
Okay.
I've learned how to speak that.
Mm-hmm.
And so has my husband. So it's like you just choose to do that. For instance, he came home from college one time. And so he called. He said, I want to come home. And I said, oh, great. I said, as an influencer, I said, you want to have friends over? You want to have a party or something? He said, no, I just want to come home. Fred was on the phone. He said, well, you want to go do something? You know, I'm wanting relationships. Fred's wanting action. Michael said, no, I just want to come home. So Fred and I said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to turn off television when he comes in. We're going to put down the mail. We're not going to read the newspaper. We're going to unplug the phone. We're going to sit here and just be with him. And be comfortable in silence, which is really hard for both of us. So we sat there, and this is after, hello, good to see you, glad you're home after going through all of that.
Right,
and then
right.
we just sat there. And finally, he said, I've been thinking a whole lot about Enoch. And I'm thinking, you know somebody in college named Enoch? I don't know anybody named Enoch. And Fred said, well, who's Enoch? And he said, well, I've been studying the genealogy of Enoch from the Bible. And he said, you know, Adam was still alive when Enoch mm-hmm. was living. And he said, I really believe that Adam, who walked and talked with God personally, he said, I think he must have mentored Enoch. And that's how Enoch got so close to God that he didn't even die. He was just translated. Now, is that worth sitting and waiting for?
Yeah.
If you await in the presence of silence with your contemplator husband or wife or child, you'll be amazed at what comes forth because they have a brilliant mind. And then when they're spirit-filled, it's amazing what God will do.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's really cool,
yeah,
Anna.
But you just learn how to do that because if what we don't understand, the people we don't understand, we tend to judge. Mm. There's enough judgment going on in the world today.
Absolutely.
And if we can just understand where people are coming from, we can accept that. We don't have to try to change them. We don't have to, you know, try to convince them. We just accept the way God created them. Mm-hmm. And then we are able to communicate the way God created all of us to communicate.
Yeah. Now, as you're creating, as you're discovering this, you're not really creating it.
Yes.
God already created it.
That's
You're discovering it and turning into something that other people can use.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the obstacles or some of the detours that you faced in into getting it to where it is now?
Oh, I would say that when you start with something, you know, we got out of the Christian psychiatric business and started our company, Life Languages International. And so it was just my husband and I, and then it was my husband's son and I. And then we stayed with that, just doing it personally in counseling and doing seminars. Started around the Dallas area. Then we started traveling to other cities. And then we started doing radio and television. Then the Lord showed us that we needed to bring in other coaches and train other people to do this. So it's been, I would say, our whole system of communication has been a step-by-step-by-step growth.
Mm.
It hasn't been overnight. Like I said, it's been 30, 35 years in the development. But that's given us the 500,000 or so people who've taken the profile
right.
around the world. We've discovered that whether you're in South America or whether you're in Germany or whether you're in Spain or in Canada, the life languages still measure the communication styles, and everybody speaks all seven of them.
And that's because it's found in Romans 12.
It's the way God created us. And there's no combination of languages that are bad. And there's no combination of, there's no first language that's bad. It just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And as you understand it and can celebrate, just like we've even used it in homeless missions.
Hmm.
And we'll have someone come in who's maybe been on Skid Row. They've lost everything from health to family to money to everything. Or maybe they've been on drugs. And we sit them down and they take this profile. And we pull it up and say, wow, would you just look at how God created you? He created you to be a responder, just like King David. He created you to be warm and sensitive and nurturing and passionate and strong and mighty. And the devil has tried to steal every bit of that from you.
Mm.
But God is here today to restore that to you. It would be, maybe that person has never had anybody speak into their lives before, and suddenly they get a glimpse of how God created them. It's life-changing. So whether you're struggling in your marriage or your family or your job or you don't know what you want to be when you grow up or whether you're 17 or 47, this can just bring light into your life and help you to celebrate the way God created you.
Yeah. So is it safe to say that your purpose in life that you've discovered is helping other people find their God-designed purpose?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we believe that God has a purpose for each of us. He doesn't try to hide that where we go through life saying, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? He wants us to know
mm-hmm.
our purpose. And if you look at your life languages, that's going to show you your strengths. From your strengths, you understand your communication style. From your communication style, you understand your passions. From your passions, you'll learn your purpose. And from your purpose, that will lead you to your place of effectiveness or your destiny. So it's if people say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, we can help them find it through the life languages because God has wired each of us a different way. And if we don't find the right place, it can be detrimental to our health. We were doing a city government workshop one time, and this woman during the break, she said, look at my life languages. And she was first life language, a responder, which is very people-oriented, mm-hmm. very one-on-one. Her second one was influencer, which again is encouraging and warm and relational. But her job was that of payroll clerk. And we said, this would not look like this job fits your profile. She said, don't say anything. This is the best job I've ever had, and I'm a single mother, and I'm making more money than I ever had. We said, we wouldn't say anything, and we just went on.
Yeah.
About a month later, the HR director called and said, do you remember Becky? And we said, yes. And she said, she has just had a massive heart attack. She was only 47. She'd had that job for about 5 years. That job was counter to every way God had created her. It is taking all of her effort to do the job of being detail-minded, like a doer, being detail-minded, maybe like a shaper or one of those languages that would handle that, because she was relational. And we said, we're not surprised. And so doing the wrong job other than what God created you to do can be detrimental to your health.
Yeah.
When she came out of the hospital, they of course kept her. They put her in a position working with the public, and she started thriving. But see, being in the wrong position can kill us.
That's incredible.
It is incredible, isn't it? So it is important that we understand how God created us, because he's created each of us for a specific purpose, and we're born into this world to fulfill that purpose.
Yeah.
This can help you find it.
Absolutely. Anna, we're talking about finding purpose and everything. You know, Jesus walks with us through our entire lives, but sometimes we don't recognize that. Can you identify a time in your life where Jesus was walking with you, but you didn't realize it until you look back?
I think probably, so many ways. I would say one of the ways probably when I married my husband. I married him because, you know, I mean, I recognized his strengths, and of course, and I thought he was the cutest thing I'd ever seen, and just, you know, all those wonderful romantic things. After I got married, I found out that everything that I was attracted to him about were the very things that I resented, and the same about me. He had just come back from Southeast Asia, and here I was. I loved life, and I loved people, and I had fun, and I adored him. And then after we got married, those were the things that threatened him. It's like, are you going to settle down, or are you going to bounce off the ends of the earth? So he starts trying to control me, and I start trying to not be controlled. So I would say that God was walking with me during that time of falling in love with my husband. And even though I went through the 2 years of trying to get rid of him because I thought it was my problems, he was the one God knew that I needed to bring me to the place in life where I would accept God and accept the gift of my husband to me. And all the things he had in store for us. So I think back on that, and I thought, oh, Lord, what if I had not... You know, what if you had not chosen him for me? Or if I'd gone with somebody else? I'm not saying God would have abandoned me, but I can just look and see that he was there leading and directing me to find. And then I would also say, as we're developing the life languages, there were times I thought, oh, this is just so much trouble. We're teaching lots of things. We're teaching a lot of stuff about how to save your marriage and how to, you know, fight for your family. Let's just make this a little teaching we do. And my husband said, no, Anna, this is a concept God is giving us. And even though it is long in developing, we're not going to walk away from it. Movers have a tenacity that is needed. I know God was in that with the tenacity of my husband to keep us moving forward in this.
That's great.
Yeah.
Anna, you mentioned earlier about the whole dealing with the separation and everything.
Yes.
If you could go back to a time in your life before that and interact with yourself and say, Anna, I need you to take this advice I'm giving you right now. What would you tell yourself?
I would tell myself that it took you a long time to understand what covenant was. See, I was very secular in my approach to life, and I thought love was based on feelings. I didn't understand love was based on commitment and covenant. And now my husband did understand that. He had more maturity there than I did. So when the bad feelings came in and the good feelings kind of started leaving, I thought, I'd made the wrong choice. Something's wrong here. I need to get out of this and go find the right person.
Right.
This is wrong. So if I had had an earlier revelation, if someone had set me down and said, Anna, let me tell you what covenant is all about and what commitment is all about. Love is more than a feeling. It's a decision. It's a covenant. It's a commitment. Feelings come and go. I don't think maybe I'd heard that all my life, but it didn't register enough that I internalized it. So I had to walk through some dark places in the process of learning that.
Yeah, Do you have a verse in the Bible that you would consider a life verse?
Well, at this stage in my life, I'm not saying that this has been true in all of them, in all of my stages, but at this stage, my husband and I have been married 54 years. We have 7 grandchildren. We have our first great-grandchild.
Wow.
And I love the scripture, I think it's in 1 John, that says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the light. Mm. And that is the verse I stand on for my children, for my grandchildren, for my great-grandchildren, to have no greater joy than to know they walk in the light of Jesus. And I pray that for everybody, for their children and their children's children, because we are a multi-generational culture of people. And what happens to one generation gets transferred over to the next and the next. Brokenness can go down from one generation to the next, but also healing can be passed from one generation to the next. Divorce goes through generations, mm-hmm. but we can each decide it stops here. From this generation forth, yeah. there's not going to be divorce. So we want the blessings of God, as the word says, to be passed down through 1,000 generations and not the That's curses. Good. We stand against the curses and we pray for the blessings to be released.
That's good. One more question that I got to ask. What book do you think would impact my life? And you can definitely mention your own, but do you have another one?
Oh my goodness. We used to own a Christian bookstore for 12 years. So, whatever book I read last was usually my favorite because I had to read so many yeah. to stay in that business. So I go back to some of the new ones are great. There are some of the old ones that were just phenomenal too. I would say that depending on where you are and what you need, I love Miles Monroe books.
Okay.
I love his book on purpose. I think that was a revelation for me, that book. I love books by Robert Morris on blessings, on the blessed life. Yeah. I really love those books. I would say those would be great ones, too, that I would recommend to get started. But there are so many great books on marriage and family. And so you can't go wrong to go to a Christian bookstore and buy lots of books. Our book, Communication IQ, of course I recommend this.
Right, yeah.
So, but I would, and certainly there are many wonderful books there.
Yeah, well, let's do a plug for Communication
All
IQ
right.
and let's
All
let's
right.
talk about this.
Well, Communication IQ tells you so much more than we've been able to cover today. It goes into depth on each of the 7 life languages and helps you. There's also a free assessment that goes with it that won't tell you where you are in all 7 of them, but it gives you your first communication style, and that is the starting place for you to understand yourself. And as you read about it and you learn about these 7, it is simple. This is such a simple concept that we have 12-year-old or 8-year-old kids that get it. It's so complex, we can teach on it for 2 weeks before you get it all. So it just, but you take it, you know, truth upon truth, precept upon precept, just like the Word of God, till you get it. But this book, Communication IQ, came out of a need of speaking to so many churches, and we would have men or women who would come up and say, my wife is not a Christian. She won't listen to this if it's all about Christian. Or I'd like to take this to my business, but I can't take it there if it's Christian. So Whitaker House asked us to write a crossover book, which is based on biblical principles and Christian principles, but it's written to a secular audience. So you can take it to your non-believing children or your non-believing boss or your mate or whoever that might reject something that talks about, you know, the 7 words of Jesus or something. But this is all biblically based, but it's written to a secular audience. So it will reach people that sometimes it's hard to reach. And then from there, when we do secular seminars, we have someone come up, usually in every one of them, that say something like, this is based on the Word of God, isn't it? Now, we've not said a thing, but if they know the Word of God, they recognize it. Or one time this woman came up and said, I don't go to church. And I said, okay. She said, I probably should go to church. And I said, yeah. And she said, do you think I should go to church? I said, yeah, I think probably it's a good thing for all of us to do, you know. So they perceive that the power and the truth of God that comes through these pages.
And what's the best way to get a hold of the book?
Well, most Christian bookstores have it.
Okay.
You can contact our office, which is ciqbook.tv, ciqbook.tv. And we give a discount, or you can go to Amazon.
Okay.
And they give a discount.
Sure. I'll make sure that in the show notes I put a link to this so people can just go to that and click that.
Okay.
And
wonderful.
Follow it. Well, Anna, thank you so much for spending some time with me. It's great to meet you.
Thank you.
And I look forward to getting my own results of the communication IQ to see how well I do.
Yeah. Okay, call and tell me so we can talk about you.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
Bless you. Thanks for having me on.
It was a complete blessing to spend time with Anna Kendall. It truly was an unexpected along-the-way moment for me. I recorded this interview the same afternoon as my interview with Carol McLeod, which is Along the Way episode 15. A friend that works for Whitaker House Publishers found out that I was doing an interview already and asked me if I would like to also interview Anna Kendall. When you make yourself available and obedient, God will open up amazing opportunities for you. I know that to be true, firsthand. Anna's story of a reconciled relationship is really encouraging. I really respect Anna's husband, Fred, for how he wooed Anna back, and through the Lord's direction, their marriage was restored. They needed true relationship with the Lord, not just a Christian facade, but a true relationship. Anna mentioned that the verse for this season of her life is 3 John 1:4. I could have no greater joy than to hear that my children are following the truth. If you don't know if you are following the truth and haven't began a true relationship with Jesus yet, I encourage you to call out to Him right now and ask Him to become the forgiver of your past and the leader of your future. I'd love to connect with you if you have questions about what this means. Anna and Fred also needed to speak and understand each other's languages. God reveals life's mysteries through His Word, and as we read it, we begin to understand God's heart and purpose. They found tremendous revelation in Romans chapter 12, and it really launched them into this ministry where they are now helping hundreds of thousands of people communicate with each other better. Which are your primary languages? Mover, doer, influencer, responder, shaper, producer, contemplator? You can find out by going to the Life Languages website and getting Anna Kendall's book, Communication IQ by Fred and Anna Kendall. They offer a free assessment on their website to see your primary language. I'll provide the link for that assessment and the book in my show notes. Also, I took the assessment and will be going over my life language results in part 2 of Translating Life's Languages in Along the Way episode 17. With Life Languages International Training Director, Carolyn Santos, who I also met that same day. Thank you for listening to Along the Way. If you've enjoyed joining me along my way, please share this with a friend who you think will be encouraged by this podcast. Also, please rate and subscribe to this podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and at my website, alongtheway.media, for all the episodes. You can always email me at johnalongtheway@gmail.com. I hope that you've enjoyed this part of my journey, and may you realize when Jesus is walking with you along your way.